Reading from Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. If you were tuned in for yesterday's broadcast, you know we completed 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart, and we completed the 100th verse, and we had a special guest, Bob Dickey, who started it. He did the first verse with us almost 2.5 years ago, Genesis 1:1, and then yesterday we looked at Revelation 22:20. Well, there's so much to our discussion and sharing, and we're talking about witnessing and Bob's involvement with the Gideons, who are launching a new practice, a training that they want to do in churches. And so we said, Bob, could you be a part of Testimony Tuesday and share again? He's like, sure, if you'll have me. So Bob, I opened up with that verse because you love to brag up the Lord Jesus. You love to brag up what God's doing. You love to share your faith journey. You love to pivot conversations into how can we talk about Jesus, or like that illustration you shared with me the other day about the guy with the cross, and you just started talking to him. Why do you wear the cross? What's significant about that cross?
Tell about that again.
Yeah.
Well, it happened to be at a high school graduation party, and knew very, very few people there. Okay. In fact, the only reason we were there is this young man who graduated from high school was glorious in her first grade class.
Oh, my goodness.
And he remembers Gloria from all the way back to first grade.
Of course
grade,
he does.
And he gave her a special invitation, so I got to come along. So we're sitting in his home. And
he's in his 30s now?
Oh, no. This is a graduate.
Okay.
We're sitting in a graduate's home.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a lot of stories I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of different people in the house, you know, and I don't know who they are, but we're sitting down at the table, and a gentleman sitting to my right, he was sharing some things, and we got into a conversation, and I found out he's from Hoopston, Illinois, originally, but now he lives in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Anyhow, as we talked, okay, I had prayed that morning, Lord, give me an opportunity.
You pray that every morning.
Okay, talked a little about that yesterday.
Yeah, to share the gospel.
I mean, we could just stop right there and discuss the importance of that, but carry on.
And lo and behold, this gentleman had a cross on around his neck and hanging down, very visible, very simple cross. And so the Lord put on my heart to say, well, ask him about the cross. So I simply said to him, I said, what's the story behind your cross? And he said, I really don't know the answer to that. He said, I don't wear jewelry, but he said, for some reason or another, I was drawn to this necklace and this cross, and I decided to start wearing it. And he said, the pandemic, and, you know, it's caused me to think about things I'd never thought about before. He said, I'm from Hoopston. And he said, I've had friends pass away from Hoopston. They were in my class. I'm 36 years old. He said, you know, why would anybody think at age 36 that I would be having friends that I knew grew up with in school, and they've passed away?
Yeah.
He said, so I don't know what it means, he says, but I've been thinking about it. And I said, may I ask a personal question? He said, sure. I said, would you like to know what that cross stands for? And he said, yes, I really would.
Well, see, now, right there, can we just stop and say, see, that's what you're gifted in, that question right there. Do you know what that cross stands for? And it's so unassuming, and it's not confrontational. Yeah. Go ahead.
You're right. And the real thing to do is ask permission.
Yes. Can I ask you a question? Yeah.
Tell your story. By the way, who was the best person on this earth who asked
Jesus
the question? Amen.
You always answer Jesus, because 99% of the time you're
going to be. Is that not true? Yeah. I mean, even when the scribes and the Pharisees were trying to trip him up, what did he do? I'll ask you a question, if you can answer that, and I'll answer your question. But it was always...
Well, you do know the old joke about the Sunday school teacher that was showing the little kids the pre-kindergarten, the pictures of the animals and the bear and the lion, and she held up a squirrel, and everybody got quiet. You know, they didn't know the right name, and she said, does nobody know the answer? And one little boy held up his hand, kind of shaking. He goes, ma'am, he said, I guess it's Jesus, but it looks like a squirrel. He said, because the right answer was supposed to be Jesus. Yeah.
Well, Jesus was the model of asking questions.
Yes, he was.
I mean, the greatest question he ever asked when he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and of course, Peter came back and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, and of course he answered on behalf of everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay, but everybody, his disciples all believed that. But I mean, so because asking a question gets people to think probably out with things they never thought before.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that by asking questions, I can find out where they're at spiritually or religiously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and asking questions also sets them a little bit at ease because you're really seeking to allow them to talk, to share. It's less threatening, mm-hmm. and they don't feel bowled over or like, yeah. oh, you're just going to cite what you know or your knowledge or your information. Yeah. You're asking them.
So yeah, let's hear your question again. You said, can I ask you a question? He said yes, and you said...
May I ask you what that cross represents that you're wearing?
Yeah, okay. That's a great question.
And actually, I said, could you mind sharing with me the story behind the cross that you're wearing?
Because,
I mean, obviously he had it out front. And by the way, I've never asked that question before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, yesterday we talked about the importance of letting God use the mm-hmm. words, or, give us the words, the right words. Mm-hmm. In fact, we prayed that before what we did. And I have been astounded at the times that I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to say, but all of a sudden something comes out.
Yeah, concept, okay.
The concept, the words come out, and it's a natural thing. And, excuse me. It's natural when it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's not natural at all coming from Bob.
You know, that's like that scripture that says Jesus, I think, told his apostles, don't worry when they drag you in front of the courts. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say at the time.
And yes.
Some people take that to mean, oh, I don't ever have to worry about what I say. That's not what it means. It means if you've done what you just talked about, Bob, you've asked the Holy Spirit to infuse your language ahead of time, then you don't have to worry.
Well, and Bob mentioned this yesterday on yesterday's program. You know, he prepared to share about that Revelation book. So he's mm-hmm. reading the Bible.
Right.
He's praying over it. He's talking about it. So many times the things that come out of us were rooted in because we studied, we prepared.
Overflow.
It doesn't mean that sometimes it can't spontaneously the Spirit work through us.
Oh, absolutely.
But oftentimes it comes like those pastors that spend hours studying, reading God's Word, thinking about it, praying it through, and then it comes out also.
Yeah. And that's important. I mean, I think I go back to the Apostle Paul, okay, in Romans chapter 1, in three short verses, 14 through 16, he says, I am a debtor, I am ready, and I'm not ashamed.
Hmm.
Well, the reason he said he was a debtor is because what Jesus had done for him, he was obligated to share that gospel with others. He was indebted to them because he had good news.
Hmm.
Okay, and he knew that it was important that he share that good news. You know, when I've asked that question, when you read that verse, chapter 1, verse 14 in Romans, he says, I'm a debtor. I ask the question, well, who's he a debtor to?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think the number one answer usually is?
To God.
Yes, but that's not what he's saying.
Really? I had
he's
that
saying,
wrong
I'm
too.
A debtor to the Greek. If you finish reading the verse, it says, I'm a debtor to the Greek. And,
oh my goodness.
And to the Gentile, I'm a debtor to the wise and to the unwise. If they have not heard the good news, how are they going to know?
That's really
unless
good,
somebody
Bob.
Tells them. I mean, that's mm-hmm. Paul, and that's what it is about sharing the gospel.
Mm.
But he said, "I am ready." Well, the only way I know to be ready is to be prepared.
Yeah.
And the only way to be prepared is have the Word of God in you, so that when an opportunity arises. You're
ready.
It kind of bubbles out.
It bubbles. Yeah, it does.
Overflow.
I don't know if I ever shared this with you, Mark and Marianne, but I'm standing on the sidewalk there at the University of Illinois, and the Gideons are passing out the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, and this engineering student, we're at the engineering area of the school, okay, and they're from India, they're from Southeast Asia, they're from China,
worldwide.
From Middle East. I mean, these, okay. And a student rides by on a bicycle and says, don't you know we're engineers?
Oh.
Okay. And I, out of my mouth, said, and I would think of all people, you would believe in intelligent design.
Oh, my goodness. That just came
and
out.
It just bubbled out.
Yeah.
What a
it just
fabulous thing to say.
And he almost fell off his bicycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now,
you didn't plan that ahead. No.
There was no way to plan something like that ahead, right?
I was thinking you're going to share the story about how you've had a practice for many years to be on campus on the quad, handing out Bibles, and that one year that professor came by and kind of gave you a dirty look and like, get out of here, what are you doing? And you were there the next year and maybe the next year. And finally, he kind of is like, he stopped long enough to talk with you and you got to share a little more. And you built a little rapport because he saw you being faithful, doing it again, believing in your cause, even though he discounted it or made fun of you. He thought, you know.
He was mad.
Yeah.
He was mad that we were there. Mm. Yeah. He was very angry. And he came marching back to me that first year that I remember seeing him. What are you guys doing here? Who are you? Who's paying for this?
Does
the campus know about this?
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, they knew all about this.
You were registered.
Right. We're on public sidewalks. And then all of a sudden, what came out of my mouth was, sir, have you ever had any good news in your life?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
He looked at me and he said, well, of course I have. I said, sir, did you keep it to yourself?
Yeah.
And he said, of course not. I said, sir, we have had good news given in our lives. Yeah. It has changed our lives, and we can't help but share this good news.
Yeah. Wow.
And he looked at me, and he smiled, walked away.
Yeah.
Okay. But when he came back the next year,
where
I'm standing almost the exact same position you're talking about, Mark, he smiled at me again.
Oh.
So I don't know what happened, if anything's happened, but I do know that something Holy Spirit changed.
Yeah, that consistency. And it reminds me of like the illustration, a simple way of looking at it. If we go to a good restaurant, we tell all of our friends about it. Oh, try this. We appreciate like the taste.
Or
you go to a good movie and you talk about it with friends. Well, here we have the good news message of Jesus. Of course, we should be compelled to share and want to tell people about it.
Now, one of the most important things before we can share the gospel and really get excited about it with somebody else, we have to understand what he did for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're talking about Jesus.
It's a good point.
Yeah. In other words, here's what I used to be like. Okay. I'm not the same person I used to be. There's a song that was a gospel song. Is I'm born again. There's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Mm-hmm. Born again because of Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. Mm-hmm. And that's me. So when you see changes in your life and you know that you didn't make them, okay, because there's nothing in you that can change you. Mm-hmm. If I'm dead in my trespasses and sins, if I'm dead spiritually, there's only the Holy Spirit can give me life, okay? And it takes, I mean, it's a process. It's the triune God. God wills it. Jesus did it. And the Holy Spirit calls us, okay? And it takes all three. And that's when God talked about creating the heavens and the earth, or the universe, actually, he did it with his little finger, okay? And actually, he just did it with his voice, and he commanded it. But when he talks about righteousness and salvation, it is with his mighty right arm.
Mm.
A lot more effort went into saving people than it did to creating the universe, okay? The universe for God was easy.
Yeah.
Okay, changing my life.
Yeah.
That took a lot of
power. It was an ordeal. Huh?
That's why the seventh day you had to rest, Bob, because you worked. He did a lot of work into you.
Right. Now, Mark, he didn't rest. You understand that?
Yes.
He enjoyed. He looked back at what he did and said, it is good.
I agree.
He was not tired. He's never tired.
No.
He's never tired. You and I are tired.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not tired.
Right, right.
But until I know how I've been changed, okay, I really can't grasp.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the most important things we can have before we can share the gospel with someone, okay, is we have to know what God's done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have to be willing. In other words, it's so obvious that it wasn't me. I didn't do this. You know, God did this.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's changed me, that becomes my testimony. Mm-hmm. Because if people can't. I mean, there's a lot of people. I used to get in fights all the time. I was a violent guy.
Oh, my goodness.
There was every year at school was a fight.
It's kind of hard to believe.
Go ahead. See?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I detest fights.
Yeah.
I mean, but
now
you do. Not then. I do now. Yeah. Not then. But until the Lord got a hold of me and said, Bob, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You get out of it. that's just one thing. Okay.
Yeah. Huh.
That's just one thing.
Yeah.
But when I tell people that, they could look at me and say, I didn't think there was a mean part of your
body.
But,
yeah, I can believe they say that.
There was. There was. And I have a sharp tongue, and every once in a while it slips out. But it used to be really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's a testimony.
He's changing me.
That's a testimony.
And people see it. Okay, people see that. So when you can share what God's done in your life,
yes,
that testimony, then it's a lot easier to share what he can do in your life.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that we want to ask is, if I may I ask you a personal question? May I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm. So the first question is asking permission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Asking permission. Always asking permission.
It's so respectful.
Yes, and it works. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't believe how well it works. But now, before I ask them that personal question, I found out about them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that gentleman, that Devin, that I sat down at the table with the cross on mm-hmm. around his neck, okay, I found that he was from Hoopston.
Right.
He graduated. I found out he lived in Cedar Rapids.
You were interested in his life.
We had a conversation.
Of course.
And we were relaxed.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's got this out in front. Okay. So it's obviously there's a reason why he's got mm-hmm. it out in front. He didn't know what the reason was.
Right.
Okay. But it was there for a purpose, you know, and God orchestrated all of this.
Right.
Okay, for such a time as this. And so I could ask, may I ask you a personal question? Would you mind sharing me the story behind your cross? Of course, he said, yeah, you can ask me a question. That's what I asked him. Okay. But this is, it's just questions. It's mm-hmm. People love to they like to hear questions.
Well, people love, and I'm the first to raise my hand, to talk about themselves or talk about their interests or what's going on. So I learned on the racquetball court from a friend, always start asking people, tell me about your family. Tell me about your work. Tell me about the things you've done. So before you get into the spiritual side of things, get to know them, show an interest, you know, honor them,
well,
who they are.
None of us like someone to come up to us, I don't care who, and just start confronting you, talking to you, or telling you, this and that. I mean, this, like, wow, who are you?
And some people take a real pride in that.
Yeah.
I remember a church I used to belong to, we'd go out on Wednesdays to share the Wednesday nights to share the gospel. And they bragged about how sore their feet was for the door. They're trying to hold the door open. Yeah. They're trying to shut it.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and they're bragging about it. I'm thinking,
I don't understand that, because I remember my parents back in the day, and, I mean, this doesn't go on anymore.
Yeah, gift of confrontation. I think that's what they say. I have the gift of confrontation. No, I don't think so. I think you're being a jerk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember my parents, and this wouldn't work in our particular culture anymore, but in their town, in their small and medium-sized town, going out calling, they called it. And they would go out and they would knock on people's doors and see if it was okay time to come in with, like, some cookies and tea, or maybe they've called ahead, and sometimes they hadn't. And it was so gracious. They never barged in. And they'd visit with the people. They didn't just go in, here we are to witness. It was like, yeah, you know, and then they'd just say, you know, we want you to know we're Christians. And, you know, that, I mean, so many people came to church from that situation of what they called, quote, calling on people.
See, and I would have been that kind of person, the other kind, with a bruised foot when I was younger.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I didn't have any compassion. Everything was black and white, and I knew what black
sure.
was, and I knew what white was.
Sure.
And I was going to tell you.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't do that now. You're gifted. You're very good at it.
Well, in our closing 2 or 3 minutes, I know that Gideon has a special project or something they want to do in churches, but can you give us, like, those 5 or 6 conversation starters or a method or the tools that people should walk through to begin talking about spiritual things?
Sure. Again, you got to start with some kind of just finding out who they are, what's important to them. And then when you start off with, can I ask you a personal question, you let them say yes or no. But the question you ask is, are you a religious or spiritual person? And that tells you where they're at as far as, is the Holy Spirit working with them, or they consider themselves religious? Okay, spiritual, religious is two different things. Well, then once they say, they gave you an answer there, the next question is, may I ask you another question? Okay, and if they say yes, who do you say Jesus is?
Mm-hmm.
Because it really comes down to all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming, okay? He's going to be setting up his kingdom. We know it's him. It's Jesus. It's this is all about Jesus. Okay, and we'll let them tell us what they think of him. Now, we're not going to, I am not there to preach or to correct. I'm just finding out where they're at, because this is all about the Holy Spirit working. No one is drawn to the Lord unless the Father draws them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he uses the Holy Spirit. So we got to figure out where they're at. So that's mm-hmm. that's the second question.
That's why if they say something maybe ridiculous, we don't start laughing or preaching at them or pointing out, how can you believe that?
No, we're not there for that. By the way, I started a conversation. I doubt they were thinking about this before I started this mm-hmm. conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't thinking about it. The next thing that happens is, if you were to die, do you know what would happen to you? Okay, and you're going to, well, I hope I go to heaven someday. Yeah. And the basis of they'll say is because I think I'm a good person.
Right.
God loves me. But again, we leave it at that.
Right.
Okay, the fourth question is, when you die, on what basis would God accept you into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask it different ways, but God's going to be the one who's mm-hmm. going to let you in. On what basis would he let you into
mm-hmm.
heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the fifth question is this. May I share something with you that someone shared with me that changed my life?
Mm. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay, and again, these are all permission-based. Okay, they're not in your face.
No, they're great.
Okay, and you find out where they're at. And then, what they say yes, now we can go right to the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit, through the Word, show them the different verses.
Well, you know, Bob, I was thinking about something, and this seems so important to me, is before you ever could get to the place where you were sitting across the table from that young man and noticing his cross, somebody else in the long past had to make such an impression on him in first grade, and that's Gloria, to ever be invited to that party all those years later for you to talk to him about that cross.
Mm-hmm.
She laid the seeds.
Yeah.
And I think to all the teachers and the doctors and the everybody in the professions out there, you are laying the seeds just by your good conduct, by your care, by doing well at your job, for
this
somebody
is,
like you to
this
come
is
along.
The Lord's work.
Yeah.
He is patient.
Yeah.
He knows the beginning from the end. He knew that that young man, that 36-year-old man, was going to be at that table at that time.
Yeah.
And
there it's Gloria. There's Gloria back there in first grade teaching him.
This is how the Lord works. And what we get to see is sometimes we get to see the fruits of it. Sometimes
yeah.
we get to,
sometimes
get to
we
plant
don't.
The seed. So, but we do realize that, you know, you look back, God is orchestrating. He is sovereign. He is doing exactly what he wants to do because he loves us.
Yeah. And I think of two things, that tapestry, how on the backside we see all these different threads, but they all fit together perfectly. But another thing that you do, Bob, and we'll close out our program exhorting everyone to think about that today and maybe pray that same prayer, Lord, Holy Spirit, order my steps this day. Give me opportunity to share the good news message of Jesus. Divinely orchestrate things so that I get to share with somebody maybe hurting or hopeless or somebody confused. Allow me to know what to say and how to say it and when to say it and when to just listen or when to ask those good questions. And so may that be all of our prayers today.
That's great.
Oh, well, thank you, Bob, for Testimony Tuesday, for Memorization Monday, for being a part of this radio ministry in so many different ways.
Yeah,
this is just awesome to be part of this ministry.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you for what you're doing, Mark and Marianne.
Thank you, Bob.
Be the glory. Well, thanks
Amen.
For listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Bob Dickey with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.